It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This week, Russian hackers stole 1.2 billion internet credentials from major U.S. companies and others around the world in what is likely the biggest data breach ever. Reportedly, the gang collected confidential usernames and passwords stolen from some 420,000 websites, ranging from household names to small internet sites. Pittsburgh Tribune Review investigative reporter Andrew Conti has researched and written about Russian hackers and joins us now in Studio A. Andrew, good to have you back with us. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Explain what happened in this latest hacking incident.
Yeah, so in this one, there's been some speculation that this is a bit of hype. There's the Black Hat conference going on in Las Vegas this week, and so this was time to come out and sort of get a lot of attention. But the amazing thing when you look into it is that this happens all the time. We had a story the other day about different Russian hackers. One guy had 600 million credit cards that he had stolen and was selling, and you know, the U.S. government figured, well, $500 per credit card, $300 million in damages. But the fact is it could have been much, much more than that. And in another case we just wrote about, this guy, he set up a spam system called MegaD. This guy was sending out 10 billion spam emails every day. And when I first heard that, I was like, that can't possibly be true. Went over to CMU, checked it out, like, is this plausible? And they were like, yeah, it's possible, right? This one guy was accounting for a third of all the spam in the world. So all those annoying messages you get in your email coming from this one Russian guy.
Wow. So do operations like these extend to Russian officials, people in government, etc.?
The thing that seems to be happening.
Is Putin behind it?
Well, it's sort of the top government officials looking the other way. It's not that they are sanctioning the hackers or going and saying, you know, sponsoring the hackers in any way. But what we hear often is that, you know, these hackers are operating in Russia and the government sort of, you know, either condones it by just ignoring it. Or in some cases, we hear about these hackers having to pay bribes to keep the government from coming after them. But what could eventually happen is that if these hackers start hitting victims in Russia as well, then the Russian government sort of wakes up to it.
But meanwhile, here in the United States, what makes it so hard to convict these hackers?
Yeah, it's fascinating. So the guy who was running MegaD, he came to Las Vegas for a conference. The U.S. government grabbed him there and he sat in prison for 2 years and his lawyer got him off. This guy that I just wrote a profile on, he's a Brooklyn lawyer and he's basically like the go-to guy for Russian hackers. Got him off for 2 years, time served, and the guy walked out the door. The tough thing is that, like in this, there's a case that's going on right now. The hacker's name is Track2 or Bulba. And everybody
and they all
agrees.
Go by nicknames.
They go by nicknames, right. And everybody knows that Track2 is this bad dude. Like he's terrible, right? And he's done all this horrible stuff. But the hard thing is connecting Track2 with the real guy. So the U.S. government recently grabbed a Russian hacker they believe is Track2 and brought him to the United States. Now they have to try to prove that this is the guy.
So Track2, his real name could be Igor Yeltsin. But because he's using a nickname on the internet, that's what makes it hard to connect him to these evil deeds?
Well, right. The tough thing is that the U.S. government can track it down to maybe his computer. But then the defense attorney comes in and says, well, you know, who's
somebody
to say who was
have
at the keyboard, right? Maybe it was his uncle or his father or, you know, his brother, some friend.
Why are online cases so tough for investigators?
Just because, one, the criminals are hiding themselves. They're using anonymizing services, so they're making it difficult to be tracked down.
Anonymizing services.
So that they're not using their real emails, their real names, unless oftentimes they will, you know, through ego, they'll leave some sort of marker that makes it visible that you get in the code and you're like, oh, this guy, this same nickname keeps showing up over and over again, so we know who it is. But even when they track it down and they know the person, often that person's in a different jurisdiction that doesn't have extradition to the United States. So how do you bring them back here and bring them to justice?
And, you know, you mentioned that sometimes they leave little clues. And there are some criminals who sort of do what they do out of vanity. They for whatever warped reason, they want people to know. They want to get some sort of credit for what they're doing. How much does this play into the motivation of these hackers? Because what they're doing, is really quite extraordinary. It takes some level of intelligence to pull this off.
It's huge, right? So one of my favorites was that guy, Bad B, that I mentioned before, the one who stole 600 million credit cards. And he actually – he put together these little cartoons on online, the kind of thing you would see on YouTube, and they were about Bad B and how he was taking money out of American politicians' pockets. And his cartoon had President Bush looking at his bank account, seeing it was empty, and then rolling his eyes in grief. And this guy was bragging, and not only was he bragging, but it was a nationalist thing where he was talking about, we're taking money from American pockets, bringing it back to Russia, making our economy stronger and hurting the Americans. So it was there was a lot of pride involved in it.
We are talking with investigative reporter Andrew Conti, who is with the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He's researched and written about Russian hackers and is with us now in Studio A talking about some of the research that he has done, some of the information he's unearthed, and certainly it's a hot topic now with the news this week of the Russian hackers reportedly stealing 1.2 billion internet credentials from major U.S. companies and others around the world. Will the act of cyber crimes ever be under control?
Yeah, I sort of feel like we're getting to the point now where it's going to get so big that the companies that are victims are going to have to do something about it. I mean, if you think about it up to this point, the major retailers they're basically turning to insurance, and the banks, when they get hit, if your credit card is taken and somebody goes in or they hit your bank account, that's all insured and the customer is made whole, so you don't feel it. And so they're spreading the pain across everybody. We all pay a little bit more in higher fees to cover this. But at some point, it's going to get so bad that there's going to be a tipping point where everybody will look and say, well, we're going to have to put in higher security, and it might be more inconvenient for our customers. You might have to do more on your end to protect yourself, but that's what we have to do to stay safe.
When people start losing money, especially the too big to fail type companies, then that's when.
Right. And I think we're getting close to that. I think we as these things keep getting bigger and bigger, I mean, the numbers, like we talked about, are huge. It's going to hit that point.
Let's go to the phones. We have Grant in Monroeville who wanted to join the conversation with investigative reporter Andrew Conti. Grant, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I just had a question. I have a friend who works for a local company, and he does IT support. He's telling me about how instances with Target isn't, or the big, discovery of the credit card isn't necessarily just so specialized. It's more just the fact that so many people were hit and that they only have to disclose once, 100,000 people have been affected or some, I don't know what number. But it's a lot more common than an average person might be understanding of it. Is that true? And why are the government going to the companies and saying, beef up the security proactively? Or,
yeah. Grant, you're absolutely right. It's a huge problem. The disclosure rules vary by state. And so in Pennsylvania, they only have to tell a customer if certain information has been taken from that customer. And they don't have to go to law enforcement and say, hey, we were breached, come in and do an investigation. They can handle it in-house themselves. And they don't have to go and tell the public even. So unless there's something that happens that the news media would have a reason to find out, we don't even hear about a lot of the things that go on. And that's one of those things that has to be addressed as well. He's absolutely right. It happens way more often than the public realizes.
How can we try and protect ourselves against these attacks?
Right. You have to do the common sense things, change your passwords, use different passwords for, your financial documents. If you're doing online banking or you have your 401k account, keep a different password for that. There's some creative things you can do to, create a mnemonic device to, come up with a sentence like, I love being on Essential Pittsburgh, and then using the letters from that to make a password that is a little more difficult to.
That would be a very common password. No, I. well, we, with the news of what happened this week, why have there been so many breaches of late? What's going on?
Yeah, on one hand, you have the Chinese government, and that happened earlier in the year, and it was the Chinese military that the U.S. government accused the Chinese of taking corporate documents. But what you're seeing in these cases is the Russian government, but individual Russian hackers coming in and doing criminal attacks. And we're just seeing because it's becoming more common, and it's easy for them to do. I mean, if you think about the amounts of money that they're taking out of people's accounts and walking away with, it's mind-blowing. And the fact that even if the government knows who they are, they often still get away with it.
We have been talking about Russian hackers, something that investigative reporter Andrew Conti has researched and written about for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and the backstory and some of the things that you have unearthed in your investigation, Andrew, are fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us to share some information with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
It's always fun to come on. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. If you missed any portion of the program or want to revisit past segments, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everyone.